Back to verse 10. Finally, we said it wasn't that it was the end. It's saying is that this is what has to go with everything else. Yeah. Be strong in the Lord. We talked about that. You need a strong soldier inside the armor. You got the idea?
Yeah.
It's no good having a weakling inside the armor. He won't be able to fight. So you've got to be strong in the Lord's strength, not in your own. And you take your stand against the devil's schemes. We mentioned that as well. We have an enemy. We're in a war. He takes that for granted. And then he says, our struggle, verse 12, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against spiritual forces in the heavenly realms. What he's really saying is we have a very organized enemy. Mm-hmm. He's got ranks and orders of his workers and so on. But he says, we're not fighting against flesh and blood, which means it's not... It's not really people that are the problem. I mean, people seem like the problem, but yeah, it's not really that. It's what's behind that's going on that's the problem, and the enemy is making people think rotten things and do rotten things. And so he's saying is, we need to realize who we're fighting. It's not people. Yeah, it's the enemy behind it all, the forces of darkness, as he calls them, all these authorities and whatever, the different ranks and everything else. Yeah, something to bear in mind, although he's a very organized enemy, he's limited. Did you know that?
Yeah.
He is not almighty. Just get that in your head. The devil is not almighty. He'd like to make you think that, but it's not true. Yeah. And the other is that Jesus is more powerful than he is.
Yeah.
You got that as well?
Yeah.
Right, okay, so Jesus is the mighty one. So we've got to fight against this great force of power that's against us. Yeah, and we've got to put on the whole armour. Therefore, verse 18, put on the full armour of God. So when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. So you've got to put on all the armour, not just one bit. You know that, don't you?
Yeah.
Because one bit won't defend the bits that's not defended.
Yeah.
You need
that first step there that I've struggled with.
What?
Well, you see somebody doing something bad, and I think, oh no, he's a terrible guy, and sort of pray for him, but don't think to pray for the power that's behind him.
Well, don't pray for the power behind him.
Pray against it.
But you, in a sense, you pray for him that he'll not be influenced by the power. We're not really bothered about praying against the powers in that sense. We're praying that God's will be done in people's lives, rather than stopping the devil's will. You got the idea?
Well, doesn't it say to pray against his spiritual powers?
Our struggle is against that, but that doesn't mean to say we're fighting them in that sense of going out and picking fights with them. Oh, we have battles because they come and fight us.
Yeah.
I mean, it won't seem much difference between both of them in a way when you're in the middle of it.
But when you see this chap that killed people on the London Bridge the other day, I don't think, and I should think, to pray against the spiritual powers that are behind it.
Well, yeah, I suppose so, yeah.
God loves the human, but not the thing he does.
Yes,
so
yes.
God loves all of
us. Yeah. But the more I'm reading of this thing, I'm really thinking, I shouldn't necessarily be praying against the powers behind him, but praying for the people that the powers are trying to influence.
Yeah.
We're doing something more positive.
Yeah.
Saying,
yeah,
Lord, mess up. I mean, it's Zechariah. When you have Joshua arrayed before the high priest, and he's in his filthy clothes, and he's going to have some clean garments put on him, and he says, the person standing next to him said, saw Satan accusing him, and he says to Satan, "The Lord rebuke you, Satan." Doesn't say any more, just say, "The Lord rebuke you." We're not taking a fight with Satan, leave him in the Lord's hands.
Yeah.
But he's dealing with the bloke that needs the help.
Yeah. Because
I hear what you're saying, but just say pray against. Four times in this verse.
Pray against.
Yeah.
But we are our struggle. It's our struggle. He doesn't say pray.
It's against.
Our struggle is against.
Yeah.
Five times.
Yeah. Our struggle is against this, against that, against the other. Yeah. Yeah. So we're involved in a battle against them.
Yeah.
But how are we going to fight them? Is the thing. we're going to look at how we fight.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's necessarily just praying against them.
Right.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say anyway. We'll find out.
Can't we put ourselves in difficulty or perhaps danger? Because didn't Satan say to someone who was doing that sort of thing, "Who are you? I don't know you. You're no one."
Yes, though you're thinking of the sons of Sceva,
they're
in Acts.
Yeah, yeah.
But they weren't believers. They didn't know Jesus,
yeah,
you see.
Yeah.
So they were trying to use Jesus' name in order to accomplish something.
Yeah.
And the demon says, "I know Paul, and I certainly know Jesus,
but
who are you?
Who are you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You haven't got an authority."
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
that's
the point, yeah. Well, we have authority because we're going to put the armour on and we've got God's power.
Uh-huh.
That's what we're coming to. So put on the full armour of God. We're fighting against a very subtle, a very powerful enemy, yes? Right. Now then, this armour, this is an interesting one, you probably haven't come across it, most of you anyway, is what armour is he using as a comparison? He's using a soldier's armour, it would seem. Mm. I mean, I came across a chap who was saying it's a bit like the priest's garments, you know, the high priest has a breastplate and a helmet and all of those things. Mm. Yeah, well, fair enough. But the other thing that's important is that Paul is talking, I'm quite sure, about Roman armour.
Yeah.
The reason being is he's a Roman prisoner with a Roman guard, and he's writing to people who are in a Roman province who saw Roman soldiers all the time. So he's using that outward, everyday experience to express something spiritual. That's what I'm getting at, yeah? Of course, the Romans didn't invent weapons, you know. There were weapons there before the Romans. And so you read, for example, in Isaiah, it says, God came out to fight with the breastplate of righteousness and the helmet of salvation.
Yeah.
Well, that wasn't a Roman thing, because the Romans weren't living when Isaiah, or the Romans weren't a people when Isaiah spoke. But the Assyrians had armour, the Babylonians had armour, and I'm sure they had breastplates and helmets as well. Yeah. So what I'm getting at is he's using the Roman soldier as a picture.
So that's the parable, that's the picture he gives us, but it's faith in God is us in the hour. We must keep faith in God.
You've got to have faith in God. And he's really...
It's never just that armour, you've got the entire...
You've got to have... Yes.
And faith in God.
That's absolutely.
That's how you keep ahead of the demons.
That's right. You need the power of God, and you need what God's provided. As he uses the armour as an illustration, we'll show you
it's a parable, isn't it?
It is a parable, yes.
Bob, it's full on, and you're going to work them all out.
Okay. So you're getting there. Right, all right. So let's have a look at this armour that he's talking about, then, first of all. When you're able to win, that's the point. He says, when you've done everything, to be able to stand your ground, right? So you're not out to lose your fight, you're out to win.
Yeah.
We are more than conquerors through Jesus, right? Yeah. Right, verse 14, stand firm then, so you just hold your ground, stand firm with the belt of truth buckled around your waist.
Mm.
Now, I want to say this is the really important bit, it's not the piece of armour, it's what the armour represents that you need.
Yeah.
You don't need the belt, you need the truth,
yes,
but he's using the truth belt as a picture of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the belt of truth, what's the belt of truth, would you say? Yes, but that's the sword of the Spirit later on. The truth is basically what the faith is, what you believe as believers. That's the truth. Yeah, the truth is the gospel itself, in a sense. What we believe, what God has said about himself.
Mm-hmm.
It's the basic things that you believe. What do you believe about being a Christian?
Well, I believe in the faith, so... That's
But what do you believe? I mean, the basic truths that you need to hold everything in place. If you haven't got these basic truths, you'll be caught off guard.
Yeah.
Basic truth is there is one God, right?
Yeah.
There is one Saviour called Jesus. No others, yes?
Yeah.
Right? That there's the Holy Spirit who enables us and gives us the power. That Jesus came and became a man and died on the cross.
Mm.
That's basic. That he rose from the dead.
Yeah.
That's basic. Paul talks about it in Corinthians. I delivered these things to you as of first importance. That Jesus died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Was seen by, rose from the dead according to the Scriptures and was seen by all these people. Right? So those are the basics. If you haven't got those, you'll wobble.
Yeah.
Because the devil will come along and attack you. Say, you don't really believe that stuff, do you?
Yeah.
And you've got the answer saying, this is the truth, it's around me, it's holding me up.
Yeah.
Holding me together, right? So the belt of truth is there. And the belt, to use the picture that Paul's talking about, when a Roman soldier put his armour on, he put his belt on to hold all the stuff inside.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Right, so that's what we've got first of all. The essentials. So the truth is the essentials of our faith. We need those. You've got to have them. That's part of your armour. Are you sure of what you believe?
Yeah.
Right. That's got to be that.
When he put his belt on, put his belt on to carry his swords and his arrows and things.
And it keeps all
the loose stuff. All the stuff that's flapping around to get him ready for battle. You work on the soldier a bit more. Right, next one, let's move on to the next piece of armour he's talking about. Of course, the thing about, just to say this, when a soldier put his belt on, he was being prepared to battle.
Yeah.
Yeah? When he came home and sat down, what did he do? What was the first thing he did? Took his belt off. Yes, right. So we're in a battle. We're ready for action. That's the idea. Yeah. Then the breastplate. We've got to the breastplate bit now. What's the breastplate?
The one that goes across your breast.
Yes, but it's the breastplate of
righteousness.
You need righteousness. If you're going to stand against the devil's schemes, you need righteousness.
Yeah.
And of course, whose righteousness is it?
God.
It's got to be the Lord's. Because if you're depending on how you feel and how strong you are today, tomorrow you'll be down.
Yeah.
Yes, it's not your righteousness, the stuff you can do and all the wonderful things. It's not that. You need a righteousness that's impenetrable. It's Jesus' righteousness.
Yeah.
Jesus never broke any law. He never did anything wrong. So when you're covered in him, your armour is impenetrable. So, and that's the breastplate. Yes. What does the breastplate cover? The vital organs, the heart and everything else. If you want to make sure your heart's in a good state, make sure you're trusting in the righteousness of Jesus.
Yeah.
If you're going on your feelings and how you feel about things, you'll find out, just like your hormones, you're up one day and down the next.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you're depending on the perfect righteousness of Jesus. There's a song, I am covered over with a robe of righteousness that Jesus gives to me. Yeah, so, you mustn't be depending on how good you are and the things you've done and all that sort of thing, because as well as that is, I'm not saying there's nothing, anything wrong with it, but if you're hoping to stand against the devil, he'll pick faults on you. He'll find faults. He tried it on with Jesus, remember?
Yeah.
He came to try it out with Jesus, and later on Jesus says, he has nothing on me or in me,
yeah?
Because Jesus' perfect righteousness just deflects anything that the enemy could try, yeah? Right. So you've got the perfect righteousness, yeah? Jesus' righteousness. No confidence in your own work, but confident in him. The next one is, you've got to put your shoes on with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. You need, what do you need?
To stand.
Good shoes to stand firm.
Yes, good shoes to stand firm. But what is it you stand firm with? It's the gospel of peace.
Yeah.
Right, the shoes are a picture, a parable. Yes, yes. What can you stand on is the gospel.
Yeah.
It's good news that can save people. That's the point of it, yes? And it's the thing about it is, if you're using the shoes picture, what was important for the shoes? Why were they important?
Marching.
They were hardened, were they? Saying they didn't get the feet.
They were hardened, yes. I don't know if you know, but the Roman shoe, it was more like a boot in a way, it had a base on it with studs in.
Yeah.
Yeah. It meant you've got a really good grip on the ground.
Yeah.
And many a time in the ancient army, in the ancient world, the armies that were better shod were the ones that were going to win.
Because
they could travel further, they could move faster, and they weren't disabled when they're walking on dodgy ground.
Mm.
Yeah. So the gospel helps us to have a firm grip on how we share our faith, yeah, and we're prepared. The thing about the shoes, it's the preparedness of the gospel. Are you prepared with the gospel of peace? When it says, Peter mentions this, are you able to give a reason for the hope that you have when somebody asks you?
Oh, Jesus, cross.
When someone says, oh, hey, what is it about you that makes you so different to everybody else? And you say, sorry? Because Jesus loves me, yes, and?
He died for me,
and he loves you too, you know. That's the other thing, yes. So you can explain the gospel. Are you ready to share the gospel? Peter asked that question. He says, be ready whenever anybody asks you. That's a prayer I have to make most days, to be honest. Lord, let me be aware when somebody needs to know something, because I can miss it just like that, you know. Yeah, so be ready, be aware to share it. But he says, do it with gentleness. You know, there's ways and ways of sharing the word of God. You can belt them on the head with it, which is not likely to be very effective, or show them and explain, and that's more likely to be a useful thing. So be ready with the firm footing of having the gospel, right? We're ready for that. Now then, those are the things that you have. You, when you're a soldier, that's what you have all the time, yes? You've got your shoes on, you've got your belt on, you've got your breastplate on. But there's some things you have to take. He says, that's a different verb there, isn't it, yeah? But now, take up. What do you stand? You've got the arms, you've got the breastplate, you've got this. Now, in addition to all this, when he says in addition to all this, he doesn't say, you know, it's not optional, but he's saying this is important. It's not over everything, but it's everything that you have to include with it. Yeah. By the way, in addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Yes, these are used, you need these in situations, yeah, where you come across challenges. What was the shield that the Romans had? I don't know if you know this, there are two kinds of shields.
Yeah, great big one.
There's a little one and a great big one. Yeah. Which shield do you think he's talking about here?
The big one.
The great big one,
yeah.
Yes. You need covering, yes. The great big shield, and it's a shield, not just a shield, it's a shield of faith. Faith will shield you. What kind of faith are then? We've talked about the
trust.
Truth.
Trust, isn't it?
Yes. It's actually a living, ongoing trust in the Lord.
Mm.
Yeah? Yeah. You're believing what God has said. You're believing that God's able. And you'll need that. It doesn't happen every day, but he says there are evil days when you get the fiery darts at you. And he used the word fiery darts, but they're fiery arrows, really. It was part of the warfare in those days that the enemy, they had their arrows and they dipped them in tar and straw on the ends of it, yeah, set fire to it, and then, and as it's going along, the air blowing past it makes it burn even more, and when it lands on something, it sets fire to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it can create confusion. And usually that was at the start of the battle, they're winging these arrows all over the place just to completely disorientate the enemy. Yeah? Now then, that's what the enemy does, doesn't it? That's what the devil does.
Yeah.
He comes up, what kind of darts does the devil use, would you say?
Fiery darts.
They're fiery darts, they set fire to things, yes? Mm-hmm. But when he says, what's the parable picture?
What do darts mean?
Yes, but what do he use? What's the actual literal things that the enemy uses that Paul calls darts? Thoughts. He can put thoughts into your head.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, temptations, right? He can put those in front of your nose.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. He can make you be afraid. Right?
Yeah.
He throws fear at you.
Yeah.
And doubt. John Bunyan, in one of his books called The Holy War. He talks about the legion of doubters that the enemy had, you know, a whole bunch of doubters that came and attacked the city. That's you, you're the city, of course.
Mm.
Yeah. Doubts can knock the stuffing out of you, can't they? If you're not sure what ground you're on, then you're in trouble.
Mm.
So those are the sort of things that the devil can put into your mind, the thoughts, the attitudes, imagination. I mean, devil's good with imagination.
Yeah.
One of his favourite lines is, what if? Yeah, and then just let you start chewing on it, and it sets fire to your thoughts.
Yeah.
Yes, you've got the idea. Mm-hmm. So that's what the picture of the darts are, the arrows. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, what did the Romans do? The Romans weren't stupid. Their shields, they put leather on them, and when they went out to battle, they soaked them in water.
So when
they go out into the field and the enemy shoots an arrow at them, it's on fire, and it hits their shield, it goes and it's out. Yes, that's why the Romans won, you know, they weren't stupid. Yes. And also the other thing about those shields is they formed what they call a tortoiseshell formation, so they could cover one another, protect one another.
Yeah.
They never had them on their back though, did they?
Well, they didn't need to, they weren't going to run anywhere.
No, they could have come up behind them.
No, they came up behind the enemy.
The devil does, he comes up
behind them. Oh, well, he's a dirty fighter, that's true. But the shield of faith for you will be all around, alright?
Yeah.
It's faith. Faith will put out the thoughts and the things. When he comes along with saying, but what if? What do you say?
Well,
you start thinking, what faith says, well, God says he's going to look after me. God's going to provide. God's going to help me. It's in the book. I can trust him. Yes, you got the idea.
Yeah.
So those are the, if you're holding on to the promises of God, that's using the shield of faith in situations where you feel under attack. Get back to what God has said to you and about you, and then that will put the fire out. Yeah?
Yeah.
You sure now?
Well, yeah.
It will. Right, so that's what you've got to do. Shield of faith.
But we could flare up again, because it will do.
Well, yeah, well, you fight it back again.
All right, you're still there, isn't it?
Yes, I got news for you. We are having a break after this time today. The devil will not take a Christmas holiday, I can assure you.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah?
Mm.
No, he doesn't.
No.
So we need to watch, yeah? That was one of the tragedies, I suppose, of the monastic movement. They thought they'd get away from the world and go and live in a monastery and mind their own business. Trouble is, the devil came in the door with them.
Yeah.
So there you are. Right, where have we got to? We've taken up the shield of faith. Right, now then, what we've got to next is take the helmet of salvation. Yes, the helmet of salvation. What's that for?
Protect your head.
Protect your head.
It's sure enough, something's going on.
Part of the thing.
Yes.
Makes you who you are.
Yes, yeah. No. But he says it's the helmet of, remember, the metal work are pictures. What he's really talking about is salvation. You need to be sure of your salvation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Make sure that you know that you're in the right place with God, you're trusting him, and that you know you're forgiven. There's a lovely phrase, if I've written it down here somewhere. It gives you hope against discouragement. Salvation, to know that God loves you and has forgiven you and you've got a future, it gives you hope.
Yeah.
Yes, I got a future with the Lord. So it deals with discouragement and it helps you to, one of my favourite words, persevere.
Yeah.
The helmet of salvation will help you to keep standing or going, if the case may be. Yeah. So you can say, this is the salvation in three tenses, you've heard it, haven't you? I have been saved, I am being saved, and I will be saved.
Mm.
Yes, that's what Jesus brings to us.
Mm.
Yeah. And that is a pretty good way of making you to have hope for whatever you're facing in the future. Yeah? So when the devil says, it's not going to happen, you failed, it's too bad now, you say, well, I know that my Jesus says I'm going to win.
Yeah.
Yes. So there you are. Right, well, then last one of these, well, not quite last one of these. Now then what we got? We have to take the helmet of salvation, which is and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The sword. This is an offensive weapon, really, in a way. The rest of them were defensive, but this one's out for the attack, in a way. The sword of the Spirit. What is it?
When you speak the word of God out.
It's the speaking out the word of God.
Yeah.
You take up, and it's the weapon that the Holy Spirit uses.
Yeah,
yeah, it's his weapon. It's, you hold it, but he's using it. The Holy Spirit will take God's word and make it active.
Yeah.
Yes.
The devil can't do that.
Right. God's word. The devil can use God's word though.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he twists it and distorts it. Well, we'll have a little thought about how Jesus does this. But what it's saying is that you've got something to help you fight back, and it's God's word. What God has said in the Scriptures, you, as the Holy Spirit brings it to mind and enables you to use it, it will help you to take your stand and to actually fight against the enemy in that sense, yeah? Right, so let's take you to where Jesus was being tempted by the devil, yes?
Yeah.
Right? When Satan comes along and says, you know, if you bow down to me, you can have all this.
Jump
or turn this stone into food, you're hungry, you know, turn it into some food, do that, yeah? And
fly, jump off.
And jump and they'll catch you, yeah, that one as well, yes. Right, so, those three things that Satan threw at Jesus, how did Jesus deal with them?
He said,
it is written.
Yes?
So he's quoting from the word,
but
he's saying something that's from the word that's absolutely spot on for that situation.
Yeah.
Yes? So when he says, turn these stones into bread, he says, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. Yeah. Yeah? What Jesus is doing is he's taking from the word for the moment.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not that I'll do it by random, see how it works out. It's when Satan comes and says, turn these things and stones into bread, Jesus would say, it is written, at the festivals and at the appointed feast, the grain offering is to be an ephah with a bowl. That's the word of God.
Yeah.
But what does he mean? It's not relevant to that situation. What he's saying is the sword of the Spirit is, God can take out of the book, which is his word, he can take the spoken word that you need for that situation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Have you ever found that happening? You know, when you've been in a sticky situation and suddenly a scripture's come to mind and you think, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I need. Mm-hmm. Yeah? And you can use that because that's the relevant word for its situation. So you take the sword of the Spirit. You need it. And of course, there's a great and challenging lesson for us all here, brothers and sisters. What's in the sheath is the Word of God. The Holy Spirit comes along and pulls the sword out of the sheath, the relevant word, and can help us to use it as a defense. Yeah? But what if there aren't any swords in the sheath? How do you get, I'm using the parable picture now. How do you get swords in the sheath for the Holy Spirit to pull out? You're committing God's word to your mind. You're learning and reading and meditating and memorizing.
Yeah.
Yeah, God's word, so that when the Holy Spirit says, we need something for this situation, you've got it. Of course, I want to say this, and this is the grace of God, brothers and sisters. The Holy Spirit can make you think of things you wouldn't have thought of anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah? And I'll just say that this was before I became a Christian, but I don't know where I came across, I don't think I did. I was walking up a road and I looked back and this verse came to mind. He who puts his hand to the plough and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of heaven. Now where did that come from? I've read the Bible.
Yeah.
There it was. It's a Bible verse. Yeah?
Well,
yeah, it's a Bible verse. So God's saying is, I want you to go forward, not going backwards, yes?
Yeah.
That was a dream.
You don't have anything on the back.
Yeah, true, that's true, yes, yeah, yeah. Yeah, anyway, so God's word, Jesus used it, and, it's not quite similar, but it is a similar situation in some ways. I always think of the armour of God, and the situation with David and Goliath.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, David is facing a terrible enemy, and David comes out not with Saul's armor. Mm-hmm. I mean, all the metal stuff. He was like a sardine. He was in the can, you know. Mm-hmm. And he says, "Can't use this stuff. It's no good. Not used to it." Yeah. He went out and he picked five smooth stones.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know why they were smooth?
Go through the air better.
Like aerodynamically better. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if you use a catapult, you'll find out. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Round, smooth stones are definitely the better option. Yes.
Yeah.
And
Wi-Fi.
Sorry. Wi-Fi. Now, there's an interesting thought on that one. Someone said Goliath had four brothers.
Yeah.
I don't believe that's what it's about. No. I think it's this. David thought, if I miss him with the first one, I shall go and go and go until I get him.
Yeah.
I think that's what it's about. Yes. So it's perseverance.
Yeah.
So David comes to Goliath, and Goliath says, I'll eat you alive, basically, I'll pull your head off and all that sort of nice stuff, you know. And David answers him with the word of God, although it isn't in the scriptures, but it is in the scriptures, it's the meaning. What does David say to Goliath?
You come armed with swords and...
You come against me with all these swords and all this paraphernalia.
I
come against you, not with the word, he says, in the name of the Lord, the God of Israel, whom you have defied, this day I shall give your body to the birds of the air. Yeah, right. What he's doing is he's applying the truth of God's word as a weapon against them. And I suspect Goliath, when he heard that, he hit him before the stone did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so David is fighting using the message, the truth of what God has spoken. Yeah. And that's what we're to do when we face our Goliaths or whatever they are.
Yeah.
Right, one more. We've got to verse 18. And pray in the Spirit. This is part of your armour, brothers and sisters.
Yeah?
There isn't a physical way of using a piece of armour to illustrate that. So he's dropped the armour now, but he's basically saying, you pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. Yeah? We need to pray, brothers and sisters. Yes? Because it's the sort of, if I was going to use, it's the glue that holds it all together, really. Prayer, all kinds of prayer. Well, what are all kinds of prayer?
Everything that comes into a situation needs prayer.
Yeah, but what kinds of prayer are there?
Heavenly prayers.
There are desperate prayers. Yeah. There are thought out prayers. Oh Lord, you're wonderful. Yeah. Yeah. And everything in between, I suppose.
Yeah.
But he says you've got to pray. That in John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, he says in the armour of God you have two weapons. Two weapons. One is the sword of the Spirit and the other is all prayer.
Yeah. Do you think Chuck
Mills
once called it the heavy artillery?
That'd be part of it, yes. But it's all kinds of prayers is another one of them. Yes, I suppose you'd say that, yeah. So we've got to pray. What do we pray for?
Help.
Yes. For strength, for wisdom, for God's help to be able to stand against the temptations, the thoughts, the stuff, yeah. So it's prayer that activates the working of the Spirit inside the armour. Yeah, so we're asking God to help us and to use us and to make us a blessing. But we don't stop with us, because he says, and with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints.
Yeah. Keep praying.
Well, first of all, you have to pray for others.
Mm-hmm.
Pray for your brothers and sisters.
Pray out.
It's like the Roman soldiers with their shields. Mm. They're covering not just themselves, but protecting everybody else as they're around them. Yeah? Yeah? So we're praying for others. Pray for your brothers and sisters. Really important. Yeah, because we're in it together, you know.
May I just have it? My book says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. What's supplication mean?
It means requests. Yeah, supplications are asking for something.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can praise the Lord and pray, yeah, but if you're offering a supplication, saying, Lord, I need this, I want some help or whatever, yeah.
Oh, right.
It's a request.
Yeah.
You're coming as a supplicant, a beggar type person.
Yes.
But there's one word there that I think I we might quickly gloss over, but I don't think we should. He says, and with all of this, be alert. Brothers and sisters, we are in a war, and he is a dirty fighter.
Yeah.
He'll catch you out as soon as you drop your eye off your ball or whatever. Yeah, so that's important. Be alert. Of course. You know what the penalty is for the soldier that slept on duty?
Death.
In trouble he might have been, or he was certainly banged up or something, wasn't he? Yeah? Not good. So there you are, you've got the power of God, you've got the armour of God, stay awake.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There it is. So then, lastly, we're almost there. But we might just make this. Pray also for me. I think that's wonderful, that Paul could ask all these people to pray for him. And do you know why he did that? Because he really believed that prayer would help him.
Yeah.
Yeah, he believed that God was a God who could hear prayers and answer them. So pray for me, and what's he asking for? That I'll have an easy life?
No. You said at the time.
Yeah,
no.
That he'd be able to do the job God's given him.
Yeah.
And that's what we're to do. Lord, help me to do what you called me to do. That's what it is, yeah. I mean, you can pray for an easy life. I can't guarantee you'll answer that one, but you never know. Yeah, right, yeah. I pray that words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. So he's asking them, just pray that I can do this work that God, Jesus has given me, to do it faithfully and fearlessly, so that he'll be able to communicate the gospel. And he says, I'm an ambassador in chains. Now, I came across a lovely bit in the commentary here. What does it mean he's in chains? He's a prisoner.
Mm-hmm.
Yes? But he uses the word an ambassador in chains. And the interesting thing about an ambassador is, an ambassador wore chains as well. I don't know if you're aware of that. But they were gold chains.
Yeah.
It was a sort of a decoration type of thing. And Paul's, I think in a way he's saying, he's making a parable of it again.
Yeah.
He's saying, here I am in iron chains, but really they're gold chains, because I'm serving the king.
Yeah.
I'm an ambassador for Jesus. And that, just to take you back to the army, the helmet of salvation, quite often the helmets in the war, where the soldiers were, the helmets weren't just helmets, they had decorations on them.
Yeah.
Yes, and the decorations let people know whose regiment you belong to, whose side you're on.
Mm.
Yeah? So the helmet of salvation says, I'm a Jesus man here, yes?
Yeah.
Right, so, wear your helmet. Right. And of course the high priest's helmet had Holy to the Lord, written across it.
Wow.
So that's all right as well, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Lastly then on this one, pray that we should then, and in verse 21 he says Tychicus, good name that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Wonder why his parents called him that. Tychicus, the dear brother and faithful servant in the Lord, will tell you everything so that you may know how I am and what I'm doing. Tychicus was the postman.
Oh.
That's what he was, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's going to bring the letter, tell him what it was all about. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Tychicus is a postman. What a great job. Yeah. Taking the word of God to these people. I'm sending him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage you. Right, so Tychicus is going to tell him how Paul's getting on.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's a messenger as well as a postman. That's right. Right, and then finally his greetings, he prays, peace to the brothers with love and with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So he's wishing, praying for peace for them. And then finally, grace to all who love our Lord Jesus with an undying love. So that's Paul's cheerio in a sense here. Yeah. And the Lord bless you.
Yeah.
And the Lord bless you too.
And you too.
And haven't we done it? Praise the Lord.
Wonderful.
Let's pray, yeah. Father, it's one thing to read about all this wonderful armour and the warfare we're in. We're in it whether we choose to be or not, Lord. That's the fact. If we've become a follower of Jesus, we're in the army, Lord. Help us to be good soldiers, trusting in your strength, making use of those blessings you provided, your righteousness, the faith that we can have, prayer, Lord, your word, Lord, to the good gospel of Jesus, Lord, and all illustrated by this armour. But Lord, may we have what the reality of it is, not just the outward works. Lord, bless us and help us to please you and to pray for each other and for ourselves, Lord, that we may see your kingdom grow, the name of Jesus be lifted high. And Lord, use us, Lord, that we may see the kingdom of darkness retreat, Lord, before the advance of the people of God as we seek to make Jesus' name known throughout our community and around the world. Bless and help us, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.